At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime, or whatever other random stuff happens to come up. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, how are you? Arnold.
Move it, football head.
So I watched the Hey Arnold Christmas special for Christmas. I think I might make that into a tradition.
I feel like you just recently watched that.
That would be during last Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
I need to watch Last Christmas movie.
Wait, is there like a Wham Christmas movie?
It's like the movie based on the song Last Christmas.
Are you serious? Oh my God, where have I been? I had no idea.
Oh my God, oh my God. I have so much to say about it. I've never actually seen it, but I've
thought. You have so much to say. Okay. What's your thought?
Okay, so spoilers for Last Christmas, the movie. Apparently, and I've never actually seen the movie, but apparently it's a guy and a girl, and last Christmas, she gave him her heart.
What?
Because they had like a romance, and then he disappeared for a year after that. Turns out, this year to save her from tears, she'll give it to someone special. But turns out she already did give it to someone special because he died last Christmas. And
oh my
she
God.
Also was in an accident of some sort. And they did a heart transplant from him to her.
Are you fucking kidding me? Wait, I thought, okay, I was waiting for the twist. And I was like, is this like a zombie thing? Like, what's going
on? He's a Christmas ghost.
He died. And that's why he inexplicably
I've never seen the movie. I couldn't tell you what the hell happens.
Oh my God. Okay. So she has his heart in her
apparently.
Body. Oh my God.
I think that's like the ending. That's how it ends. That's
wow.
The only thing I care about. I need to watch that fucking movie.
Okay. Wow.
So I need to see how literal they take it and like when they played the song.
Okay. I never even knew this existed. That's insane.
I think it bombed.
I can only imagine why.
Oh my God, I'm going to watch it right after this.
Christmas is over with, Austin.
Yeah, and I'm fucking glad because this has been the shittiest Christmas ever.
It really has. Like, I'm not even exaggerating when I say that. It was a really terrible Christmas.
Yes, it was. By the way, I no longer have a foster dog. Jade, sadly, has passed away.
Oh, that's so sad. I wasn't sure if you wanted to bring that up on the podcast. I know we mentioned her a few episodes back, I think, but...
The people want to know. They got to know. They care
sad.
About our lives.
Well, go
no,
ahead
they
and...
They don't give a shit about us. They skip through this.
They do not. People like to... You know what? I've learned this. People like to listen to mundane stuff.
That's true.
Do you want to share, Austin? I feel like it's your story to tell.
I mean, there's nothing to share. I knew something was wrong. I took her to the shelter because, you know, she's a foster dog. Twice to be like, there's something wrong with this dog. And they were like, she has anxiety from a new environment. I'm like, no, she doesn't. She's perfectly happy. I'm not even saying that defensively either. I know how to read a dog's emotions, you know?
You're very good at this kind of thing.
And eventually they were like, here's some antibiotics. I'm like, okay, but she's not sick. Like, she doesn't need antibiotics. You're wasting antibiotics. And we never finished that regimen of antibiotics because she had to be put down. Because
so
after the third time I took her in, they finally were like, okay, we're taking this dog back. And I was like, great. And the day after Christmas, they took her to the emergency vet. Turns out... She had cancer that they couldn't help her with, so she had to be put down. And I was like, I told you from the moment you gave me this dog, something was wrong.
That is so
sad. I know how dogs behave, you know?
Not to be depressive, but we had a conversation about this after the fact because it was very sad. I was wondering, and you were wondering, like, I wonder how much her previous owners who surrendered her knew about her health because it just seemed awfully convenient that she had all these issues arise like right after she basically was surrendered to the shelter and they had this weak excuse of why they surrendered her because they wanted to travel or whatever. I think it's because they knew of her health condition and they just didn't want to deal with it.
Who knows? We can never say.
I don't know. It's very sad. But I was glad that she had a good final couple weeks with you because she was very happy, it seemed.
Yeah, she was a cheerful dog in spite of everything.
Poor Jade.
I do kind of think, surprise, surprise, we lean way too much into the happy-go-lucky part of Christmas, the merriest part of the year of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like by its very nature, Christmas is kind of a time of death and darkness.
Mournful reflection.
It has to do with the winter solstice and like the shortest day of the year. That's what it really is. And people celebrating like the end of the harvest season and all that kind of stuff. And it's always associated with like ghosts and stuff and death and reflection and, you know, the Ebenezer Scrooge of it all.
I don't know. I feel like this year I've really been hit hard with the seasonal effectiveness of it all. Like, I don't know. This particular Christmas was really shitty. Really shitty. I didn't have a good time at all. And like the last few days after Christmas, I mean, I know this is coming out in a week from now, but it's a few days after Christmas for us now. And I was in a funk for a while. I didn't want to see or talk to anyone. And, you know, neither one of us put up like any decorations or anything. Like, it just didn't feel like it. You didn't put up a tree.
I did not put up a tree. I put up lots of trees.
What? What?
I put up no less than 3 mini trees.
Where were the trees? I didn't see any decorations. I mean, you have your New Year's up stuff now, but...
There was a tree on the mantle. There was a tree on the DVD case. There was a tree on the dining room table.
Oh, I do remember the sad, like, Charlie Brown tree. See, this is how much attention I wasn't paying because I was just in a funk. I was like, I can't deal with it. I'm glad it's over. I'm sorry, guys. It's, you know, we hope that all of you listening out there had a really wonderful time, hopefully. But if you're like us and didn't have such a great time, then we totally empathize with you. But do you want to switch gears maybe into something a little bit more positive? What else has been
happening? Yeah, how about our listeners? That's a positive topic.
Oh, I was going to talk about a couple other things first.
Oh, go for it.
Oh, sorry.
That was a good transition. God damn it.
Oh, God. I've ruined it. It's me. I'm the problem. I'm so sorry.
All right. What's going on, problem child?
What is going on? Oh, I know you didn't want me to talk about this. We had a pre-record. I just want to say this because it's been bothering me. We had a pre-record going, but Austin's audacity shat the bed, so we had to scrap it because he didn't record anything. So sad.
But our Patreon subscribers will be happy to know we put up a new bonus episode.
Oh, that's the other thing. Guys, this is so exciting. I know it's been like a year plus, but I finally did it. I finally finished the Dragon Ball Z bonus episode. So if you're not a Patreon subscriber already, go ahead and do that so you can listen to the long-awaited, muchly anticipated Dragon Ball Z episode.
For a reference for how long it takes Alex to edit these, it's an episode with me and Jacob. So that's how long it's been.
Yeah, Jacob hasn't been a part of the podcast for a while. But this is kind of cool because it's like resurrecting Jacob from the dead, right? He's not really dead.
Oh my God, Alex. We're going to see him in 2 or 3 days from now.
I know. He's not really dead, but he's back in a sense because I just finished editing it. And it's great. It's Austin and Jacob. So if you're tired of listening to me, you can get a reprieve because it's just the boys. Austin didn't want me to talk about this, but I've been watching Twilight. I was overcome yesterday and I binged watched three episodes. I binged watched 3 movies in one day.
4.
No, it was 3 the previous day and then I watched 1 yesterday.
Yeah, you're right. I was falsely attributing a movie to you.
Although I don't really count Eclipse because we talked about this. I literally blacked out, I think, when Eclipse was on because that movie was horrible and I don't really remember it. Even after having watched it the other day.
We talked about Twilight for an hour after you watch all these movies all at once.
In the car.
And mostly we talked about, okay, what the hell happened in Eclipse? And I already don't remember what we talked about.
It's a blank space. It's literally a nothing of a movie. I don't know why I was overcome to watch it. I guess I was I was having a moment. I was in a funk post-Christmas and I was regressing. Because you know how you do. You regress when you're sad into your teenage years. So I was like, I need to watch some stupid nothing movie and take my mind off of everything. So Twilight it was.
I'm glad you regressed to your teenage years. I regressed to like my childhood years of watching Hey Arnold.
You gotta do what you gotta do to like self-preserve, right? Oh, I wanted to mention Austin got me a really good... This is the one bright spot. Well, Josh got me a nice present too, but...
Oh, what'd he get you?
I know this is gonna sound really ridiculous, but it's something I asked for, so don't come at Josh. I got a hand vacuum cleaner because that's the most exciting thing you can get when you're an adult. So he got me a nice thing that I specifically
I don't even know what that is. A hand vacuum cleaner?
Like a dustbuster? Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, those are fucking useful. Those are really great. I love my dustbuster.
I know. I considered that one because I was like, you have it, and you just like pull it out every time you have like a small mess that you have to like hoover up real quick. So I've been wanting to get one. And I know how like ridiculous that sounds. Like, oh my God, your boyfriend got you a vacuum cleaner. But like, I specifically asked for it. So.
If he got you a vacuum cleaner without you asking for it, that'd be one story. But no, you asked for it.
No, I specifically, I would be pissed for one thing if that was the case. But no, I specifically asked for it because I was sick and tired of having to pull out my regular vacuum cleaner every time I had, you know, a minor thing to like vacuum up. But you got me a really great gift that I was really surprised.
You also asked for it.
Well, yes. We discussed this too. We discussed how practical it is to just be straight up with what you want. Don't let people guess what you want for Christmas or whatever and have to like return the thing. Just be straight up. Oh my God, I just spilled coffee all over myself. Oh my God, it's everywhere.
You've been waving that thing around wildly in the air this entire time.
I didn't realize I had coffee left in here.
I've been watching you do it. It was like,
oh my God,
seconds before disaster.
Y'all, there's coffee everywhere. This is a disaster.
All right. Should we pause?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Alex is gone. We're going to open a booster pack. Let's see. We're going to open a Mythical Island booster, and it's going to bring us, let's find out, a bunch of cards I already have, I'm sure. A Mankey, a Flabébé, a Joltik, a Stonejourner, and a Rapidash. No new cards, of course.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm back. I came back right as I heard Pokemon Pocket, TCG Pocket.
Yeah, which I'm trying to get you to download, but you're not going to do it.
No, oh my God, I completely forgot to do it. I will.
You don't have to.
I feel like, can you just like, so you just open a pack a day and that's it? Can you actually like play with people?
Yes.
Okay, we could play together. I'm fine with that.
They say they're going to introduce trading in January, so we'll see how that goes. I got a bunch of good cards for you if you want them.
I do. All right, I'll download it today after we're done.
You don't have to.
Well, I want to, so you can't stop me.
Okay, I cannot. You're a strong, independent woman.
Don't stop me. You got a vacuum cleaner. Now. I know. Obviously, I'm a mess, so I needed one.
So what did I get you for Christmas?
Okay, back to that conversation. Luckily, the coffee incident did not go onto the couch. It was just on me. You got me a super cute, awesome game, Mario Party Jamboree, the biggest, bestest Mario Party yet.
Yay!
Why are you so unenthused? I love it.
I'm just worried. Did Josh not enjoy playing it?
Why are you worried? You're worried all the time.
I'm worried all the time. We're both worried all the time about everything.
You're just like me. You live in a constant state of anxiety also.
I know. It's really bad.
I know. It's terrible.
Why does anyone listen to us? Leave 5 stars.
Leave 5 stars. Help boost our self-esteem. He liked it. Okay, so thing about Josh you have to know is he did not grow up with a ton of video games in general.
True. Sure.
And he definitely did not grow up with Nintendo. Like, Austin was a Nintendo kid for sure growing up.
That was what was cheapest.
Surprisingly.
And also, it was what was child-friendly. So that's what we grew up with.
See, I did not grow up. I'm kind of the same. I mean, I somewhat did because I, you know, Pokemon of it all, but like...
Yeah, you had Nintendo systems. You had Mario Sunshine, Paper Mario.
Well, I had a GameCube. I didn't have like a Super Nintendo or anything like that. So I didn't grow up with the early Mario games or Zelda games or anything like that.
Well, I had an older sister, so that explains why I had a Nintendo.
I grew up, as a child, my console was a PlayStation.
I think that was true for a lot of people our age, yeah.
Because my first game really was like Spyro. Anyway, so Josh did not have any of those game systems growing up, and he certainly did not have a Nintendo. So he really is not familiar at all with Mario, Donkey Kong, Zelda. Like, he just never has played Pokemon. He's not ever really done. So yesterday was the first time. So Austin got me this game, which I'm super thrilled about. It was super cute. Love it. I'm going to play it later today. But yeah, it's super cute. We all played together, Austin, Josh, and myself, and it was really fun, and I liked it. So thank you, Austin.
Okay, so are we ready to transition from Week Talk to not the episodes, but questions and comments?
We got some feedback that we sadly did not realize that we even got, so we're going to address it today. Hooray.
Okay, should we tell a story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pokemon Megastar. You truly are a Megastar. Pokemon Megastar has been commenting on most of our episodes for the past season, and we had no idea. on Spotify because Spotify did not alert us. And we are not very diligent about checking these things. So,
okay.
Whoops, sorry, Pokemon Megastar.
Yeah, I want to just ask, because is this, like, also user error where... Because we recently checked, right? We recently checked on Spotify and discovered the comments. We were shocked and thrilled at the same time. Because we were like, oh my god, all these comments that we had no idea. The notifications are supposed to go to our email.
Right, and they didn't go.
And so you checked and they were not there.
Not as far as I could see.
So according to Spotify, the notification settings to be alerted via email when we get a comment was not working. So we did not know. And we are sorry, Pokemon Megastar, but we're going to address them today.
Yes, I got you, Pokemon Megastar. I got a bunch of... I mean, I can't address everything you wrote because, quite frankly, it's a lot. And
but we love that. We love that. We just want to say, please do not be deterred. We love the comments. We are only sorry that it took us this long to address them, but we hope that you continue to comment because we just love it.
All right, so I'm thinking we can do a rapid fire. Let's address Ooh. Pokemon Megastar's questions and concerns.
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh my gosh, you have no idea.
Okay. Pokemon Megastar says, for the Jasmine battle of Steelix versus Cyndaquil, should Cyndaquil have evolved into Quilava?
Fuck yes, it should have. God.
Ironically, that's going to be relevant to today's episode, isn't it?
It is. You know, that's actually really good timing because we have thoughts on that.
Oh, yes, we do. I will say, I do think in a just world, we would have gotten Typhlosion, Bayleaf, and Croconaw.
In a just world.
In a just world. In a world where Ash's Johto team didn't suck.
It does suck. And we live in an unjust world, so sorry about that.
I will say, just generally speaking, I'm not a fan of evolutions happening during gym battles.
Fair.
Just because that's not how the gameplay mechanics work. No. But Cyndaquil certainly should have evolved right before or right after that gym battle. I agree with that.
Yeah, many episodes ago.
They also suggest Attila and Hun should have been named Bonnie and Clyde.
That's cute.
Agreed.
But it is, okay, but there's some kind of fun to Attila saying, hey, Hun.
That was really fun. I agree with that.
So as much as Bonnie and Clyde is, like, really fun, I can't knock, like, Attila and Hun. Like, that's really great, too.
They suggest that during the Red Gyarados arc, they should have faced the Team Rocket admins from the game.
Oh, like, oh my god, what are their names? I can never remember.
Well, in Gold and Silver, they didn't have names. They were just kind of like sprites. But later, they gave them names and, like, distinct personalities.
Are you talking about the grunts from, like, Heart Gold, Soul Silver? Or not the grunts, like the admins?
I never finished Heart Gold, Soul Silver, but I've seen their character designs.
But those are the ones, right?
Yeah. I think that's kind of what they were going for in these. They gave us, like, Professor Sebastian and Dr. Namba. What was his name? Tyson.
I'm trying to remember their names. Oh, okay. Petrol, Archer, Ariana, and Proton.
Proton?
Proton. Okay, Ariana's fun because isn't she like Silver's mother?
Implied she looks like she was designed to be Silver's mother.
She looks sure. exactly like him. I believe it.
I think they should have made that canon. Oh well.
Pokemon is missed opportunity.
I think they were trying to like get like Team Rocket admin-like characters in there.
Sure.
They also said those characters should have been in Journeys. I agree with that. They want to know our thoughts on the Adventures manga.
You're going to have to remind me. Holy shit.
I like it. It's kind of hard to follow sometimes, you know, because it's so many releases and so many different distribution methods it's come out in over the years. But I do like it.
Oh, okay.
It's something different.
I was looking up Pokemon Adventures because I literally cannot remember.
You don't remember it at all?
No, I'm so bad. I'm so sorry.
1 year, not this year, 1 decade, I'm going to finish all the main series games I've not finished, and then I'm going to read through Adventures in its entirety. I'll let you know when that happens, which it will not.
What was, Jean-Luc Pikachu.
That was Electric Tail.
Oh, that was Electric Tail. God, see, I can't, oh my god, I'm so bad at this.
Okay, we can't ask Alice these questions.
No, we can't. Ask Austin, not me.
You've read Adventures, though. I know you have.
Yeah, but a long time
ago. That's the one where Red is being captured by Lorelei, and she has him, like, tied up with her ice cuffs.
Yes, I'll believe you.
Okay, whatever.
Wait, I have a question, just because I'm thinking about it. Which is the manga where we see, like, the drowned city, like, the post-apocalyptic...
That's Electric Tail.
Okay, I think I remember Electric Tail a lot better than...
That's because we read that just, like, a couple years ago for the podcast.
Yes, we did. And that was so fun. I love that.
It's also my favorite Pokemon manga, bar none.
It's really good. I encourage you guys. We did some episodes on those, so go back and listen to those. It's a good time.
I love Magical Pokemon Journey, but that's way more obscure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What else do we got?
Alex doesn't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
Okay. So, should Misty have taken the gym challenge in Johto? Making her Ash's rival could have helped both of them. I think just formatting-wise, no. Because then we would have to see 2 gym battles for every gym leader. And I'm... No, thank you.
I mean, as much as I dislike the focus. I mean, we give Ash such a hard time. I mean, we focus on him, like, being the chosen one, and, like, he's always got the spotlight and everything. And it's like, okay, I have to agree. I don't think that would work in practice, unfortunately, because, yeah, like Austin said, we'd have to have double all of that, and it'd be very redundant, more so than it already is. I don't know. As much as I hate, like, the fact that Brock and Misty are sidelined and they don't really have a goal other than just following Ash around like puppy dogs, I really don't see how that would work.
Contest, having a side character, or rather a secondary main character, who does contest, who has a different goal than Ash, I think is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, which we're about to get into that. So that's really great.
More on that in a moment.
Yeah.
But feel free to write that fan fiction, though. Speaking of, they said our fan fictions are fantastic.
Yay!
Part of Pokemon Megastar wishes they could send one in, but they're no good at writing. I don't agree with that, Pokemon Megastar. If you want to do something, do it to your heart's content.
Absolutely. I don't think I'm a strong... Okay, Austin is the writer, bar none, of this group. He's creative writing major. He writes brilliantly, in my opinion. I do not consider myself a writer, but I threw something together. I feel like if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Well, Alex, this feedback says, your horror story was so well done and creeped them out, especially at the end.
Yay! Oh my gosh.
And they also loved the bit with Gary and Ash. It felt like how an adult Ash and Gary would be.
Thank you for the kind words, Pokemon Megastar. I'm really glad that the fan fiction was well received. I was kind of, you know, not to like toot my own horn, but I was pretty proud of myself for writing something outside of a romance. Glad you enjoyed it.
They say it's okay for us to look up stuff on Bulbapedia, because I was like complaining about it so much, probably.
We complain every fucking episode about having to use Bulbapedia, so.
I think it's okay when we use it to supplement, but I don't want it to be our main source of information. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want us to be like, fair. And here's what Bulbapedia had to say about this episode. I think it should be like, if we had a question, we consult it. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, I think it's fair, but I also think it's fair that, and funny, that when we call out Bulbapedia for its egregious mistakes and ridiculous stuff that they say on there.
Which is kind of mean of us, to be real, but...
I feel like it's kind of a running gag at this point.
Maybe you should be making shit up, Bulbapedia, I'm just saying.
Okay, the thing I remember specifically is them calling Lantern a dolphin incorrect, and also how funny it was when we did the Pokemon Christmas Bash album, and the lyrics were wrong, and at the bottom, they're like... We are committed to having, like, accurate and true lyrics as part of our, like, Pokemon musical project initiative. And I'm like, I don't think you can claim that, Bulbapedia, because these are not right.
Admittedly, I will never contribute to Bulbapedia because
I have a job
and and things to do. So
we're such petty bitches. We're like, Bulbapedia, you're fucking wrong. And then we're like, well, I would never contribute to it or fix it. So
I was actually going to compliment Bulbapedia and be like, oh, so I'm glad someone's doing it, but I'm going to cut this out. Okay, so.
No, you can't.
They think maybe Poliwhirl, Misty's Poliwhirl should have evolved into Poliwrath. And then they could save the Politoed from that girl, the cheerleader girl.
Oh!
And she could have both.
Oh my god. I agree with you, Pokemon Megastar. I think that Poliwhirl was done horribly dirty. I hate what they did to it. Poliwhirl was so cute. It should have been a Poliwrath like it was destined to be.
That Poliwrath with a cute personality?
Yes! Oh my god, it would be precious. Could you imagine?
Oh, man. And then we could have also gotten Politoed. Like that more, like, competent Politoed, being the Politoed.
Wow.
And we could have had, like, an abusive trainer storyline, which they had without realizing they did. See, Pokemon Megastar, I think you can write all the fan fiction you want. I think you should go for it.
Yeah, you already have that creativity there. You just have to nurture that and go with it.
Now, Pokemon Megastar is a true Megastar because they have an answer to a question we had.
What was the question?
In Fire Red, an NPC mentions that Lance has a cousin who is a gym leader.
Oh, is that where it came from? Oh my god.
Apparently so.
We were scratching our heads over that, looking and trying to research it. And we're like, where on earth did they come up with the fact that Claire...
I cut out like 10 minutes of us searching for that.
Well, it wasn't just readily available on Bulbapedia. So we were scratching our heads like, oh, where did this ever come from? So in Fire Red... So just Fire Red, not Leaf Green?
I have no idea.
I wonder if the dialogue's different.
Maybe they meant Fire Red, Leaf Green.
Maybe.
Also, Masters says it outright, apparently. I need to play Masters. I don't like the gameplay, but I need to play it for the spicy lore.
Is that the mobile game?
Yeah, the one where it's like trainers.
Okay.
I collect literally... trainers.
I literally do not know anything about Pokemon Masters. So I will take your word for that.
Speaking of Master Trainer.
Oh my god.
They would love to hear us play a board game.
I really, okay, I know we this is going to take some engineering.
Creativity.
Yeah. I really want to try to figure out how to, like, film us playing it. Because I don't think we could just do it like we did Pokemon Adventure. So we did play a board game once upon a time a few years ago. Myself, Austin, Leslie, and Jacob.
Well, that wasn't a board game. It was a
tabletop game. Sort of. But it was all audio based. And it was kind of terrible because, sorry guys, it was in our early days and we were in the middle of like a living room and the audio was terrible and it was something.
Oh, don't lie. The audio would still be terrible if we did it today.
No, I think we've learned a lot about, well, somewhat.
No, we've not.
About.
I have not.
I feel like we would have done it better. We really tried.
I think it adds to the charm of that one.
Sure. I often wonder, like, how could we play a board game on a podcast and make it, like, fun and exciting? I wonder if that'd be more suited to, like, Twitch and somehow we filmed it, just us playing the game.
But we're also, like, to be semi-anonymous on here, you know?
We don't have to film ourselves, but we can film board.
You gotta have a video component.
Yeah, but, like, filming the board and not necessarily us. Okay. We can be, like, all hands or something. I don't know.
We'll figure it out. We gotta make that happen. That's gonna happen.
We're gonna do that. It'll be fun.
Last question for now. What were your favorite gym battles this region? What do I remember? I remember Cyndaquil versus Steelix pretty well.
Yeah, you like that. I remember you had some comments on that. Because, like, Cyndaquil digging down into the ground and, like, the fire spin of it all or something. I don't remember exactly. But I remember you liking that battle. God, who else? Faulkner? No. Bugsy? No.
I think it's got to come to mind for it to be your favorite. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's my favorite, but it's just, maybe it's because it's in most recent memory for me, but I wouldn't say I like in the sense, like it because it was good. But the Icy Price battle was the most memorable.
Oh, there we go. I'm surprised you didn't say the one with Snorlax and Charizard in it.
Wait, Snorlax and Charizard. Who was that? Oh, that was...
Claire.
Oh, that was Claire. Wait. Oh, Charizard and Ash is... Yeah, Ash is Charizard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was Snorlax versus...
Kingdra.
Well, I love Snorlax. I mean, we know Snorlax is my favorite. Literally, I have a mug that says Snorlax is my favorite Pokemon. I don't know if I'd say it's my favorite battle. It's my favorite, I guess, because Snorlax is there.
All right, so it's not your favorite. Got it.
I don't know if I have a favorite necessarily. I just think the Icy Price one is most memorable because Price just throws in the towel for no reason. It's inexplicable, and we were so mad. Or I was mad. Well, not really, but you know what I mean.
That's it for Pokemon Megastar's questions for now. But please continue to leave comments, Pokemon Megastar. We'd love to hear it.
Wow.
We love to see it.
So that was a long time coming. We're really sorry. We were not ignoring you on purpose. We legitimately just did not realize.
We were ignoring you on accident.
Oh, man. And if anybody else wants to comment, please feel free. We welcome it.
Well, I also got an email from Ben.
Oh, Ben. Ben's our friend who sent in Mad Libs.
Ben has been playing a lot of Generation 3.
Oh my god, yes.
And Ben specifically said he heard you loved Ruby and Sapphire, and he's currently playing Emerald.
Oh my god.
It looks like he has most or all of the Generation 3 stuff, and is trying to, like, assemble all the Pokemon together, which that's a goddamn...
Wow.
...heroic feat, because that's really hard to do.
Wait, you mean, like, complete, like, a living Pokédex, or...?
I don't know about that. It sounds like he's just moving over Kanto and Johto Pokemon over to Hoenn.
Okay.
So maybe, I don't know.
Well, good luck, Ben. Oh my gosh, does this mean I'm officially an influencer because I influenced Ben to play Gen 3? Ah!
No, stop. I think Ben was already playing Gen 3.
No, let me live in my Delulu fantasy of being an influencer.
Oh, you already do. Don't worry.
I know.
The questions are, what was the most memorable moment of Hoenn to you?
Well, I can say with a certainty that the most memorable part of the game was the Braille puzzles.
My most memorable part of the game was when Archie and Maxie became boyfriends.
Oh my god, we love Archie and Maxie in this house. We love it. God, what else is another memorable moment? I really like the desert for some reason. Like, I don't know, getting the goggles and, like, finding the fossils. I don't know. I don't know why I like that.
You were a Cradilly girl, right?
Okay, this is a non-story, but... Just the same as, like, me being a Charmander girl when I was a young child and then seeing the light and becoming a Bulbasaur girl.
You were a Marlodo girl.
I was an Anorith girl. Like, when I first played the game, I got Anorith and then had an Marlodo. But I have since seen the light, and now Lillip and Cradilly are absolute faves. I am now a Cradilly girl.
I mean, I guess the iconic Hoenn moment is the Emerald sequence where Rayquaza tells Groudon and Kyogre to shut the fuck up. And calm down, go home, you're drunk.
Basically.
Which was, at that time, very It was wild, you know?
Iconic. Oh, okay. Also, the most memorable thing. I can't believe this wasn't the first thing out of my mouth. Trumpets.
Oh, the trumpets.
The horns. We love the horns.
Next question. And Ben says, this might be a bit preliminary. Do you think May suffered the most from the voice changes in season 9?
Oh, my God.
My take on that is, we're going to see how we feel when we get there. How about that?
That's fair. We can't really do an analysis until we experience it.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah. Appreciate that. All right. We have talked so much. Now we're going to talk about the episodes.
We all love Electabuzz. No other team's the same. The players charge the field and electrify the game. They pitch and catch and run so quick. Their baseball bats are thunder sticks. Their power hitters do the trick. Electabuzz, our favorite pick. We love their yellow collar and their black stripes are the best. Electabuzz, they're better than the rest.
We have for you this week, Here's Looking at You, Elekid? Elekid? We're going to talk about that.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I don't know how to say it.
Okay.
What do I say? I say Elekid.
I say Elekid. The anime differs, and I kind of wanted to briefly touch on that. And then we also have You're a Star, Larvitar. What is our order this week, Austin? What are we doing?
Okay, Dragonite Coin, what do you think? You are doing 30-second summary for this first episode.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And what an episode it is.
What an episode it is. I feel like I just watched these, and somehow they did not stick in my brain.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting. Okay, get ready. And... 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so we stop for picnic lunch, and we hear a rustling, and we see a brand new Pokemon come out of the bush. It's an Elekid? Elekid? Who knows? This Elekid is extremely rude and walks up to Elavitar and steals his food. Meanwhile, surprise, a familiar face comes. It's Casey, and I completely forgot she was here. Team Rocket captures Elekid and Larvitar. Team Rocket meets the Magikarp salesman who trades away James's Victory Bell. James's Victory Bell goes off into the woods with a female Victory Bell. And there's so much other stuff.
We're hitting high gear now. Like, I feel like they're like, oh shit, JoJo's done. We gotta hurry up. We gotta get some stuff tied up, don't we?
The most infuriating thing about this happens in the next episode, which I know we'll have a lot to talk about because I'm like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, we'll get to that.
The ash of it all. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I did not remember this episode at all, so.
Oh, I remember this episode vividly.
I can't believe I forgot so many things happened in this episode. Some major things happened in this episode.
This is a big fucking episode. Like, a lot went on.
Go for it.
We start the episode, and things are looking a bit different in the region of Johto these days.
Things are looking a bit different, you say?
Yeah. How would you describe it, Alex?
Like, are we talking about, like, art, aesthetically, visually? What are we talking about? Oh my God, what did I miss? Oh my God, I'm so bad.
You didn't notice the entire animation style has completely changed formats?
Did it really? Holy shit.
Alex!
Did it? Oh my God.
There was a very jarring shift. All the colors are different. Everything is completely different.
I did feel like the colors were a bit more vivid.
Yeah, they were.
Okay.
We switch from hand-drawn animation on paper.
Yes.
To digital animation.
Maybe I'm that bad at telling the difference. Oh my gosh.
You must be. I think it would have been more jarring if we saw the Slowking episode and this episode and back to back.
Now I'm going to have to rewatch both of those side by side to like see.
Like just watch like a clip. I thought it was extremely jarring.
You know what? We're going to do this right now because I can't.
Okay, go
can't
for
stand
it.
All right, hold on. Sorry. Master Quest. Here we go. Blah, 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 scrolling down. Oh my God, there's so many. Oh my God, Claire, get out of here.
Just watch any episode, any single one.
Okay, I'm going to Slowking. Okay, here we go. Okay, I see what you're saying. The drawnness of it all. There's Archaeologist Man, Telesu. Okay, now I'm going to go over to Here's Looking at You, Elekid. Let me go to the middle. I mean, it's slightly different.
Okay, we're not.
Okay, wait, no. The colors are better.
Yes.
Let me skip ahead a little bit. Okay, it is better. It's clean. I think it's cleaner lines. It is slightly different. Okay, sort of. Yes.
Sort of. Okay, anyway, the tell is Jessie's hair has changed colors.
The tell is her hair?
Yeah.
I will say there's a big difference because there is a flashback moment that James has with a certain character, and you could tell the animation.
So you did notice.
I noticed in that sequence. Hold on. Let me. Yeah. Okay, Jessie's hair. Yeah, okay. A lot of clean lines. Her hair is like very magenta.
Right. It's a magenta. It's not red. Like the color red.
Oh, here's Jesse. Oh, it is. Okay. I totally see what you mean now with Team Rocket. All right. I see it. Okay. Sorry, guys. I am very non-paying attention.
I want to hear if the listeners noticed. I'm sure they did. Anyway.
They're much more observant and they definitely are than over me. So sorry, guys.
Okay. Anyway, Alakid is here. What do you have to say about his name?
Okay, not really a lot. The anime pronounces it Elekid. Elekid.
Electricity.
I don't like that. I think it's Elekid.
I think Elekid just phonetically is more pleasing.
Because Elekid, Elekid, they add like an extra C in there or something. I don't know.
All right, Elekid's here, and it marches over and takes some kibble right out of Larvitar's little paws. Very sad.
Paws.
But then it doesn't really matter because Team Rocket appear for the first time in this episode. And they catch the Elekid and Larvitar in their steel-reinforced net, and they float away.
You didn't mention the glaring error that Dexter made.
What was that? Oh, did it say it evolves from Electabuzz?
Dexter claims that Elekid is the evolved form of Electabuzz, which I was like, what
Dexter,
the fuck?
Dexter, go home, you're drunk.
He does get it right in the next episode, though.
Okay, about with the Magby?
Yeah.
Probably because Magby actually evolves into Magmar.
I was like, what is this? Okay, wrong, but...
I was tuning out. What can I say? So this Elekid has evolved from an Electabuzz, and now it's trapped in a net with Larvitar. But they get out somehow, and they're basically wandering around. The twerps are looking for their Larvitar, who they know has a traumatic response to everything. And I think Alex in that moment has a trauma response. Because who emerges from the bushes but Casey?
Oh my god, this was a jump scare, you guys. I did not remember that this character appeared in this episode and I was shocked and appalled. I was like, oh my god, no. Terrible.
I consider Casey to kind of be like the Johto anime character, really, because she appears three times.
When was the last time we've seen Casey? It's been so long.
They were at the bug-catching competition.
Jesus. Okay, that was so long ago. I do appreciate that the twerp response to her this entire episode is, like, cringe. They're like, oh, God, Casey's here. Ugh. Finally, they've realized.
They always have been like that with her.
It's really, like, obvious at the end, though, and I love that. She's been doing stuff, though. She's been even more busy than Ash, which, actually, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually appreciated that. I was like, good for you, Casey.
Has she been more busy than Ash?
In one way.
What way is that?
Her Pokemon, her one Pokemon.
Her Bayleaf has evolved to Meganium.
At least she doesn't have an allergy to evolving her Pokemon, unlike Ash.
Well, spoilers for the end of the episode. Casey reveals she only has 4 badges.
Okay, I don't even know what to say. Maybe, I don't know. Ash somehow has plowed through the gym battles and he has 8, but he's like not really doing a lot with his Pokemon. Plus, I feel like Casey's more casual and she's probably doing like baseball stuff half the time.
Yeah, I think she doesn't really care about the gym quest. I think that's just a starting point. And ever since then, she's like, whatever.
I mean, despite her like lack of like ambition with the gym challenges, at least her Bayleaf has evolved. I don't know.
I mean, what is she doing? I guess she's going around like following baseball games.
Well, that's her main thing. You know, she's not like Ash. She's not really singularly focused on the gym battles. She really cares more about finding yellow and black Pokemon and following Electabuzz.
And wouldn't you know it, she's done it. She did it.
She did it. She did do it.
Because
anyway.
She is here. She and her Meganium are here because she found that Elekid and has been following it around.
That's her, like, dream Pokemon, by the way. I mean, her team is the Electabuzz baseball team. So, of course, having an Elekid is, like, her dream.
I think it makes sense to introduce, to have the Elekid episode be a Casey episode. And that was probably the plan all along, actually.
It took them long enough.
I guess this episode exists to establish, okay, Casey's, like, not an actual rival. Don't expect her to be in the league. We're not going to get a 6v6 with Casey.
No, of course not.
Casey gives Ash a lot of shit for his Bayleaf not evolving. But Ash is like, I'm glad it didn't evolve yet, actually.
Excuses.
More on that later.
We'll have more to say on that next episode, I think.
Oh, yeah. I've noticed they've been seeding this throughout. There's a lot of episodes in a row about not evolving Pokemon, isn't there?
Yeah. Somebody's finally realizing that they made a mistake.
Meanwhile, Elekid has become friendly to Larvitar and is now helping him gather apples from a tree. That's nice for little Larvitar. He's making a new friend. And I think it's also nice for him to make a new friend who isn't Ash.
Yeah, he's been pretty insulated.
Meowth has a boss fantasy about how Elekid is going to power Giovanni's electric razor in his hair dryer.
I mean, sadly, Giovanni was not naked in this boss fantasy.
He wasn't a robe.
He was in a robe. Do you think he wasn't wearing anything under the robe, I'm sure, but this was not the Speedo episode.
No, it was not. Meanwhile, a little Larvitar is peeking out from the corner, spying on Giovanni, waiting for that robe to drop.
Oh my god. Just like we all are.
Larvitar and Elekid get caught again? No, I skipped ahead.
Yeah, no, they do get caught. This is when they get re-caught.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, this is a very confusing episode format-wise. But yes, we catch Elekid and Larvitar again, and the twerps save them again, and yet they are lost again, so we have to keep on looking for them again. Is that correct?
Yes, something like that.
Well, what a chore. Okay, so they fall off a cliff, but they're fine. That kind of like happened off screen, actually. They didn't even like address it directly. No one's like, oh, I'm worried about Larvitar falling off a cliff. Nope.
I mean, Larvitar's fine. It's basically a rock.
Yeah, I guess so. I will note Fortress blasted off Team Rocket. That was notable.
Gotta have one small contractually obligated moment. Fortress appeared.
Meanwhile, now the episode finally starts to get like actually good.
Oh my god, because this Team is Rocket, the twist.
they blast off into the Magikarp salesman.
Okay. I just have to stop you real quick. I remember that this happened, although I completely forgot it was this episode that it happened in.
You forgot it was also a Casey Elekid
episode. Yes, like I forgot that this happened at the same time. Like I thought the whole James Victory Bell of it all was separate.
You thought that was its own special episode.
Yes, completely forgot this.
It's the more memorable part.
Yeah, forget about Elekid. Forget about Casey. Fuck that.
Yeah, who the fuck cares about them? So, I mean, I like Elekid, but... It's not the most exciting thing in the world.
Yeah, and this honestly kind of made me sad because I think I misremembered exactly how it played out, and I was kind of surprised by the abruptness of it.
They run into Magikarp salesman for like, is this like the fifth time they've seen him? They've seen him a bunch at this point.
Yeah.
He is not going to give a full refund for James's Magikarp because he kicked it into the ocean and it evolved into a Gyarados and did Dragon Rage, which no one has ever survived. And then they ended up in an island full of giant kaiju Pokemon, which were actually robots funded by Giovanni as part of his shell companies.
Oh my god. And...
Okay, we don't mention all that, but...
No. Oh my god. Thank you for reminding me of that, though, because I loved the island of the giant Pokemon and the fact that it turned out to be a theme park run by Team Rocket. I love it. Giovanni so, is crazy.
All that very him. Much aside. So this was one time where we had a flashback to a season one episode. And did you notice how different the animation
Absolutely.
Was?
This is what when I really noticed the shift of the animation. Like, really.
The animation looks completely different.
Very washed out. Very blocky. Totally different.
Now?
But, oh no, the old animation style. Like, very chunky, blocky, sharp. The colors were much more muted, I thought, like, compared to now.
I mean, it was time for them to switch to digital, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're in that time period. Although, the original animation will always hold a special place in my heart. But yeah, definitely a shift.
Now that we're done flashing back to the old animation, Magikarp Salesman has the newest scheme that he has on hand. And this time, it's a hop... I almost said a Hoppip.
Oh my god, a Hoppip. Ah!
No, that's going to happen in the future. I'll take it back. This time, it's a Weepinbell. And this one actually kind of makes sense. It's a Weepinbell that knows Sweet Scent. So we're referencing another game mechanic where if you use Sweet Scent, a wild Pokemon will attack.
You know, honestly, I wasn't like mad at Weepinbell Salesman. I guess he is a Weepinbell Salesman. I wasn't really mad at Magikarp guy because, yeah, the Magikarp thing was kind of a scam. And it was funny that James fell for it so many times. And he almost falls for it again. But the Weepinbell thing was actually, like, true. It actually worked. At first, I thought, oh, he's going to say that Weepinbell, it's going to have Sweet Scent, and then it doesn't know Sweet Scent. And then I was like, oh. But it actually did.
Or so something. Like, yeah.
There's not really a scam here, or at least if there was.
There's no swindling happening at all.
I didn't see it. Maybe I'm just naive, but...
This was a good plan.
I mean, honestly, if they were smarter about it, I feel like they could have gotten it to work, but... You know, it's Team Rocket, so nothing they do works.
We kind of have to do an equivalent exchange, though.
Very full metal of you.
Mm-hmm. We can't just give Team Rocket, or they can't pay for the Weepinbell. We have to trade for it with one of their Pokemon.
Mm.
Which, this is a bad scam for the Magikarp salesman. I don't know what he's thinking today.
Yeah, this is legitimately not a scam. This is legitimately a true trade. Like, he actually has the machine and everything.
It's not even, like, a sale. It's a trade. It's a Pokemon trade. That's different. Like...
Honestly, I'm with you. Like, I don't really see the scam. There wasn't a scam. I don't see it at all. Like, it's weird.
So odd. Okay. Team Rocket's immediately like, yeah, we need that Weepinbell. So we're going to list all the Team Rocket Pokemon we have on hand. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of a fun exchange.
Yeah.
Meowth obviously is like Absolutely fucking not.
They wanted it. They thought about trading him.
Jesse and James always try and get rid of him. But Jesse says wheezing. And I thought James had a pretty good counterpoint, which was, we always get away because of smokescreen. We can't get rid of wheezing.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely can't get rid of wheezing. It's very pivotal to their operation.
Meowth says Wobbuffet, but Jesse says absolutely not, because Wobbuffet's counter is, like, really useful when we actually use it.
Jesse has a soft spot for Wobbuffet.
And also at this point, yeah. Wobbuffet's joined the gang. Yeah. Like, he's not going anywhere.
She loves it. She doesn't want to admit it, but she loves it.
But she is allowing herself to openly express her love for Arbok. Because James says Arbok, and Jesse is not having that. No way.
She punches him the fuck out. She's like, absolutely not.
Arbok is... How dare you suggest such a thing?
My baby, yeah.
I mean, is Arbok the most iconic Jesse Pokemon, Wobbuffet aside? Probably.
Absolutely, no doubt.
I mean, Arbok has a little personality and has a few moments here and there. Nothing major.
And I always think back, like, when I think about Koffing and Ekans or whatever, when they get lost in the woods, remember with the tour Pokemon way back in...
On the island of giant Pokemon?
Yeah, yes. On the island. And they have the moment where they're talking and Koffing and Ekans are like, Master may do bad things, but Pokemon aren't bad or whatever. And, I mean, Team Rocket is not, like, truly bad, so... I just think they humor Jesse and James. I mean, they really try. They love them, but...
I think of that episode when Arbok got snake-charmed by Ariel's whistle.
Oh, Ariel!
I think it was that episode.
Go back...
There's also the episode... Yeah, go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, go back and listen to Austin's ridiculous, funny fan fiction with the Ariel... The Lady Ba and Mr. Douglas and his tractor. And if you don't know what that is, please go listen to it. It's kind of an in-joke, but it was a great
I think it's episode 101. I could be wrong.
Yeah, my God.
Other Arbok moments. There was the moment when Arbok led a mutiny against Jesse and James to protect the milk tank.
I don't remember that.
In the desert.
What happens?
Arbok just kind of like looked around at the other Team Rocket Pokemon and was like, okay, so we don't want to attack this milk tank, right? And they were like, yeah. And Arbok was like, we're not doing that.
Oh, was that the mill tank where Meowth was, like, sucking on its teat? Yes. And, yep. Okay. And Cyndaquil, and it was, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, pretty boring episode. But this is a fun episode, I thought.
Yeah.
So that eliminates all the Team Rocket Pokemon. We would have gotten rid of Lickitung, I'm sure, but we already did that.
Right.
So that leaves Victory Bell, which James is upset about, because even though it's a man-eater, he still has a special bond with it. But we don't see that right away. Instead, we cut to... the salesman's mobile trading device, which I thought maybe this was going to be the scam, but that wasn't it either.
How? What did you think was going to happen?
I thought maybe he was just going to take their Pokemon and leave.
Like steal it and run away?
And give them a fake ball.
Yeah, I did too. I thought maybe it would be empty or something. I don't know.
Do you have any thoughts on Pokeball mechanics with this thing?
I mean, there's not much to say aside from like, okay, it's like a little briefcase looking thing and there is no scam happening. So don't worry about that. They literally put the ball into it and kind of just... and then it sort of transfers ownership. I don't know.
Well, I'm pretty sure it swaps the Pokemon that are inside the balls.
Oh, because they pick it up from the same side.
Yes, they do.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even consider that until right now.
Normally, with the trading machine, like the big one, the ball itself gets digitized, sent into the machine, and comes out the other end.
But
in this, they just sat there, and like, I think the button glows red.
Yeah.
So presumably you could transfer a Pokemon, say, from a Great Ball to an Ultra Ball with that method.
Oh my God. That is such a thing that I hope they implement. Like, in the games, I do not know why they have not implemented a changing the ball that it's in. Like, how many times have you caught a Pokemon and you're like, oh, all I had on hand was, I don't know, a generic Pokeball, but you really wish you could have put it in, like, a luxury ball or something. Why can't we change the aesthetic of the ball on the outside? Please, Game Freak, please. I'm begging you.
Well, the only known instance of this happening like that is the Magikarp salesman's magical briefcase.
This is, like, the most high-tech thing I think we've ever seen in, like, the Pokemon anime. It's insane. Where did he get this? I don't know.
Switching Pokemon from Pokeball to Pokeball, that's never happened anywhere else, I don't think.
No. And I don't know if it happens again. I think maybe this is the only time. I'm not sure.
So, now that that's done, Magikarp salesman's off. And now, I thought this was really interesting. James gets his flashback to catching Weeping Bell.
His original Weeping Bell.
His original Weeping Bell.
Okay, I'm trying to remember what happened. So he gets the Weeping Bell and then immediately goes to put it in a daycare. where it evolves in daycare. And am I missing something else?
We've never seen this before.
No, we haven't.
Victory Bell was one of those Pokemon that mysteriously appeared between episodes. I think this might be the only time that's ever happened. James was just randomly like, I left my Weeping Bell there. Oh my god, it's a Victory Bell.
What episode did Victory Bell, like, appear in? Like, when did we first start seeing it?
The first appearance of Butch and Cassidy.
And he just had it.
He just had it.
Okay.
Offhandedly.
Huh, interesting.
So I think we're finally addressing that little plot hole.
That's really interesting that they even, like, thought to address it. Like, they could have gone the whole time and never said anything about it.
So we finally see him catch the damn thing. I thought it was interesting because it looked like, someone please correct me if I'm wrong, if I made fun of Alex for nothing.
Oh my
god. It looked to me like all these clips of James and Victory Bell, like, living life, was new animation for this episode, but done in the hand-drawn style instead of the digital style.
Digital style. I knew that was coming.
All right. That aside.
That's a Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, if you don't know.
I think that's what was going on.
So you're saying that they went back explicitly to draw the flashback in the old style to emulate the fact that it happened in the past?
Yes.
Perhaps.
That's what it looked like to me.
I don't know. I'd have to rewatch that scene. I thought it looked similar to the newer animation, but I could be totally wrong.
I could be wrong too. I don't know. Plus, I'm watching all these old DVDs and that kind of like distorts all the audio or the video and the audio.
Yeah.
Anyway, that aside, Team Rocket attacks the twerps again in this episode by using Sweet Scent. And it lures over Elekid and Larvitar and the twerp Pokemon all at once. Except Larvitar seemed resistant to it.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was affecting it because it was dragging, or it was trying to grab onto Elekid and like drag him back and not let him walk towards the Sweet Scent.
But it affected Casey's Meganium and Pikachu and Togepi.
Does Larvitar not have a nose hole? Like what's going on?
It does have nose holes.
It does have nose holes?
It totally does, doesn't it?
I gotta look at it. Hold on.
Oh my god, I'm pretty sure it does. It doesn't have nose holes.
This is just like our constant, do Pokemon have ear hole arguments?
Larvitar does not have ear holes, but Tyranitar does.
So does it, like, breathe through its skin then because it's got those open holes on its body? Like, maybe? What's going on with Larvitar?
But Tyranitar also has the open holes.
Tyranitar definitely has nose holes.
That's what I was remembering, but Larvitar does not.
Now you can't unsee the fact that Larvitar does not have nose holes.
Weird. Maybe that's why it wasn't affected by Sweet Scent. It doesn't have
nose holes. It doesn't have ear holes either. Does Tyranitar have ear holes?
No.
But it still has the holes in its body. Okay.
Regardless, Larvitar is not animated to have a nose.
So it makes perfect sense that it can't smell the Sweet Scent. Oh my gosh, there's actual, like, explanation.
We all end up in pitfall traps. James is still crying.
He's heartbroken. It's so sad.
The twerps get out and it's time for a battle. James throws out his victory, his new Weeping Bell. I made a mistake too.
Ooh.
He throws out his new Weeping Bell and he recoils in horror because it's going to eat him, but then it doesn't because, oh yeah, this is not Victory Bell. Phanpy fights Weeping Bell and does some crazy helicopter move with its trunk to stop some razor leaves from attacking.
This is very helicopter dick reminiscent.
Yes, it was.
Just flapping Phanpy's the nose.
A baby elephant. Let's...
Sorry. All I could think of was that SNL thing.
Flopping dick aside, Phanpy still loses because Weeping Bell defeats it and immediately evolves into a Victory Bell.
Surprise, surprise. Oh my god.
I'm 99% sure Weeping Bell is a Leaf Stone evolution.
Isn't it?
I think so.
Okay, maybe it's like that bullshittery where like the Gloom and the Blossom and Vileplume rivalry episode where the stone fragments like fly on the wind and like it builds up enough of it and they like evolve.
I didn't see any fucking wind.
Okay, well, I'm just saying there's been evolution stone fuckery episodes before, so
I still think they made that Gloom Vileplume Blossom episode wind shit to cover their asses for when stuff like this happens.
So they can like pretend like, oh, we totally did it on purpose and didn't just like evolve it out of nowhere when it wasn't supposed to happen.
Right.
Like
I think that is the reasoning for that. Because it defeats Phanpy, presumably gets, you know, the real life equivalent of experience points and evolves.
Maybe, just maybe, this Magikarp salesman guy had a Leaf Stone on Weeping Bell as a held item and it just had to battle to level up and evolve.
For it to rub up against it enough.
Maybe. Well, actually, no, because you don't have to level up to use a stone. You can just use it anytime. Maybe, yeah. Because you have to, like, touch the stone to the Pokemon. So maybe there's, like, friction element. Maybe you're right. Who the fuck knows? It was an oversight.
Okay, anyway, continuity error.
Okay.
The Victory Bell evolves, and...
The Weepin Bell evolves.
Yeah, the Weepin Bell evolves into a Victory Bell, and it starts to eat Jesse.
Oh, I love this. The switch. Ah!
I know Victory Bell has eaten Jesse and Meowth before.
Has it?
I'm pretty sure it has.
The original?
It's definitely eaten Meowth. It totally has.
I don't remember, but I'll believe you.
But this one specifically targets Jesse. It wants her.
Love that.
And guess what? She's not fucking having that.
No.
So Fortress is the true hero because it, for the second time, it saves Elekid and Larvitar. Hopefully this time they can fucking stay saved for more than 5 seconds. The Twerps do not know what to do with Team Rocket and the Victory Bell situation. They don't even comment on it. They're like, did your Victory Bell de-evolve and re-evolve? They don't even, like, mention it.
I don't think they care.
They're self-absorbed. They don't give a shit.
No, they don't.
Jesse is furious, so she takes that Victory Bell and she kicks it into the stratosphere away from her. Goodbye, never to be seen again. At least by Team Rocket.
No.
They get blasted off. I don't really care about that. Okay, Meganium blasts off Team Rocket. Meanwhile, the Magikarp salesman is suffering for being a legitimate businessman for once in his life. Because James's original Victory Bell has now targeted him and is eating him.
I guess it just has a thing for, like, swallowing men.
Well, that leads to my next point. Because Victory Bell 1 and Victory Bell 2. When two Victory Bells fly through the air in the same area, it seems they will inevitably bump into each other mid-air, look into each other's Victory Bell eyes, blush, fall in love, make a heart with their vines, hold hands, and as...
Hands?
Hold leaves, and...
My God.
As flower blossoms bloom, skip away, / hop away, into the horizon, as romantic music plays, and they scream.
That was their mating call.
The scene was awesome.
The Pokemon abuse aside, animal abuse aside, which we will talk about later, perhaps in the MVP-LVP part, yeah, they scream and screech. And I love how they have, like, two different screams. They have unique screams, and then they leave, never to be seen again.
You said James's original Victory Bell was male, and this new one's female. I think it's the opposite.
You think James's original one was female.
Right, because it has the higher pitch scream. And based on anthropomorphizing laws,
right,
that would make it the female.
Maybe you're right. Okay, I can get behind that. So, like, the female Victory Bell likes to attract or eat male creatures, yeah. And then the male one ate Jesse. That sounds so wrong. I'm so sorry. Is that right? Did I get that right? Female ones eat the male humans, and then the male ones eat the female humans.
That's what I'm extrapolating. I could be wrong.
Okay.
I don't know their intentions.
This is not of any consequence whatsoever.
No, it truly does not matter.
We're just talking because why not? Why not?
Why not? Now do Victory Bell. It's a farewell to Victory Bell. It was a wild, convoluted way to get there.
This is insane. Like, I legitimately, like I said, I forgot. I knew that this happened, but I forgot it happened in this episode. But I also forgot that it was such an unceremonious exit for both of them. And I felt so bad. Like, James was heartbroken, and he never gets to say a proper goodbye to it because he was just bullied into it. And I feel so bad. Oh.
This episode ran on, like, Looney Tunes logic to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And you know, I like it when things get wacky.
This was a wacky one for Pokemon.
This is a fun little plot, I thought. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
If only for the climactic scene of the Victory Bells skipping away and the screaming. The screaming really put it over the edge.
That was cute in a kind of crazy way. It was like, oh my God, this is insane.
Because hot take, Victory Bell never worked for me.
I mean, it was just there. I mean,
it ate James all the time.
I mean, it really didn't, like, do anything.
The most iconic Victory Bell moment I can think of other than this is when James was the Flaming Moltres and he, like, was hanging from, like, a wire and kicked Victory Bell into submission.
Oh my God. I mean, poor Victory Bell. I'm glad it found a happy ending. As sad as the way it left, like, it got a decent write-off, I guess. It didn't really ever seem like a James Pokemon to me. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I know it's iconic in the fact that they, like, ate him all the time, but, like, eh.
Yeah, it didn't work for me.
Eh, I agree to an extent.
Okay, meanwhile, some bullshit with Casey. Casey catches the Elekid. Okay, whatever. Larvitar is sad, but Casey's like, don't worry, Larvitar. With this one, I'm going to make a whole bunch of baseball metaphors. And Larvitar's like, okay, so now we say goodbye to Casey forever. But before she leaves, she has to do a victory song.
Nobody wanted
that. We all love Electabuzz special.
Bass tried to stop her, which I loved it. They were like, oh God, no, you don't have to do that. Please don't.
I do have some bad news, though.
Which is?
This is not truly the end of Casey.
I knew it.
Yep.
I knew it. I just knew it.
More Casey to come.
We couldn't have been that lucky.
Which unlucky twerp do you think is going to encounter her in the future?
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. So Ash does not encounter her? Is that what you're trying to say?
This is the last time Ash ever sees Casey.
So another twerp sees her.
Yes.
Honestly, I don't know. Maybe we should save it. A surprise.
We'll find out.
So Ash never sees her again.
Nope.
Wow. Oh my God. Is it Richie? It's fucking Richie, isn't it?
No, I don't think they ever exist in the same place at the same time.
Maybe that's the conspiracy of the century.
Oh, here we go.
Richie and Casey are the same fucking person. We've never seen them in the same room at the same time. Convince me otherwise. Oh, hold on. Sorry, I didn't want the annoying alarm thing to Okay.
Anyway, so this was a place-setting episode. This episode kind of establishes Casey's not going to be in the league. And it also begins to set up Team Rocket for their new era.
Sans Victory Bell.
Yes, a new era, new Pokemon.
It's very Scar of you. Doesn't he say, like, it's a new era? I don't know
Victory
why
Bell is trampled at the wildebeest and dies.
I don't know why that came to me. I don't know.
I don't know either. All right. The end.
Okay. That was great.
Love that episode. Good one.
It was something. There was a lot happening in there.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get to talk about our most valuable, our least valuable player, and the quote that had the most impact.
You are going first.
Okay. I really struggled with the quotes this episode, so I'm going to just tell you right now that they're not good. Okay. My MVP, is going to be... I guess this is so weird. I'm so sorry. I guess I'm going to give my MVP to the Magikarp salesman.
Okay.
Only because... No, actually, no, I take that back because I'm going to give him my LVP. That's right. I completely forgot. I hate him this episode. I'm going to switch. I'm sorry. I'm flip-flopping all over.
You are so hot and cold.
I am so hot and cold. He gets LVP because of the way he kicks Victory Bell.
Oh, okay.
So, like, Victory Bell is trying to eat him. And then he's like, get the hell off of me. And then he like does some animal abuse and kicks Victory Bell into the stratosphere. And so I was like, that is not okay, Magikarp guy. You cannot just kick Pokemon. Even though they try to eat you, we still cannot kick them. That's wrong. So I give him LVP for that.
Okay.
I'm gonna give my MVP to James, I guess.
Aw.
Because I feel really bad for him. I'm heartbroken that he was forced by Meowth and Jesse. They get my honorary LVP for forcing him to give it away. Yes.
And Wobbuffet.
I forgot he voted.
He got a vote. Yeah,
he did get a vote. What the hell was that? And so 3-1 voting for getting rid of Victory Bell. James did not want to. He was coerced. I felt really bad for him. And he was truly heartbroken because he was crying all the rest of the episode. And my quote, this was weak because, like I said.
I got an extra if you want it.
Let me just see what you would suggest because I have one, but I'm not really sure about it. Do you want to use that one?
I'm not married to it, no.
Okay, I'm just going to give it. This is bad. I'm so sorry. When the flashback happens and James is like remembering looking into Weepin' Bell's eyes lovingly, and he's like, jeepers, where'd you get those eyes?
Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers?
Yeah.
Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those eyes? I missed that.
Yeah, so that was a reference to the song. That's it.
All right, my quote is going to be Casey burning Misty.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she did.
Misty says, still a diehard Electabuzz fan, aren't you? And Casey says, you can bet your ponytail on it.
The ponytail.
Ah, sorry, I'm anti-ponytail. At least side pony.
What's wrong with the side pony?
1997 called it, wants its Misty back. My MVP is going to be Fortress.
Ooh.
Because Fortress blasted off Team Rocket by popping the balloon and saved Elekid and Larvitar. One of the multiple times they saved them.
Mm-hmm.
So, MVP for Fortress. I'm paying attention to you. I got you, you little steel bagworm. I've really had an appreciation for Fortress ever since it was in Scarlet and Violet. And they redesigned its model to be really shiny and cool.
Really?
Oh, it looks so cool.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. To make it more like steel type?
Or... Yeah, it looks like metal. It looks like, it's like reflective a little bit.
Oh, that's interesting.
My LVP, I'll give it to Casey to make Alex happy.
Thank you. Somebody had to.
I'll give it to Casey for only getting 4 badges in the time that Ash got 8. How about that? The implication is she doesn't care.
We know Ash is like single-minded in his
right
ambition. So like, I guess you could argue for and against that. I don't know. I mean,
okay, nothing, I'll give Casey LVP for her song. How about that?
Good.
Okay.
It was a bad song. Okay. Wonderful. All right. Any final thoughts on Here's Looking at You, Ella Kid?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, other than you still haven't seen Casablanca.
No, I have not. Okay. I'm so sorry. I know somebody's going to come for me for this. I tried to watch it once. Could not get past the first 5 minutes, but then I was told that it gets way better, so I should try again.
You didn't even get to the romance stuff.
No, you know I love a good romance.
It's like the most iconic romance movie of all time, but okay.
Okay, I'll try again. Let's move on, but before we do that, hold on 1 second. Just give me 1 second. Sorry, I really did not mean for that to take long, but he got back and he was sitting there thinking that we were almost done. And I was like, we are not done. Sorry.
We should be done by now, but we're not. I know. We're still here.
We went so long. Okay. All right. So I think we are good to switch over to the next one. You're a Star Larvitar is up next. So I am going to pretend I'm ready to time you in 1 second because I'm going to stall to find the timer. Are you ready? In 3, 2, 1, go.
I don't even remember this episode. I just saw it. Ash learns from a battle with a boy named Satchel and his Magby that his Pokemon suck because they're all unevolved. But I don't think that matters as much as the fact that he hasn't fucking trained them. But we're going to make up for lost time now by training now. But then Team Rocket attacks and steals all the Pokemon, and then Larvitar has to single-handedly save the day and pop a tire twice. And Ash does not learn any lessons from this one.
Time. So, this is an actual... I thought this was a good episode in that I'm really kind of proud of the writers for addressing this problem.
Addressing their own problem, yeah, that they've set up. But okay, at least they're doing it. There's an in-universe
reason
analysis of this. Yeah. Yeah.
As funny as it is that they're calling out their own writing, I think it's great that they actually did it, because it's like, if you were waiting for them to address the glaring issue of Ash's Johto team sucking... Well, this is the episode for you.
Yep.
We are getting ever closer to Mount Silver. We can actually see it in the distance. And we have stopped at the Pokemon Center at the base of the mountain, which, if I remember right, this is actually in the game. There's a Pokemon Center at the base of the mountain, right?
Ooh, do not ask me. I have not played Gold since 2001 or so.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'm going to throw down the gauntlet. I'm going to play Heart Gold, and I'm going to finish it before we finish Johto on the podcast. I said it out loud, but now I have to hold myself to it. Okay.
Wait. Okay, I know we just talked about this, but remind me, as of right now, how long is it going to take us to get to the end of Johto?
6 episodes?
So that's 6 weeks.
What episode is this? Are we on 162?
Of our podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, 162 of our podcast.
After this, we have 6 more episodes.
Of our podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have 6 weeks.
Oh, fuck. Okay, if you give yourself a time limit, it's going to work out.
Okay, so 6 weeks from now is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so you have until February 9th.
Of our recording this.
Of our recording this, because we're recording
Wish
this.
Wish me fucking luck.
Yeah, we are recording this on December 29th. So if I counted the weekends correctly, you have until February 9th.
Wish me luck.
Good luck. You know, okay, actually, you don't need luck because I know you're going to do it. Because every time Austin challenges himself or somebody else challenges him, he does it.
I like the detail of if someone else challenges him.
He will do it. Okay, you know what I'm doing? Because I know we're bad at this, and I know we suffer from not remembering stuff. So I am actually going to put it in my calendar right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to see if you can actually do this.
I'm going to give myself some grace. I'm going to finish the Johto quest. I'm not going to include the Kanto quest in this.
What is the Kanto quest?
When you go to Kanto after you finish Johto in the game?
No, that's post-game stuff.
Okay, so I'm going to do the Elite Four champion stuff. That's where I'm going to draw the line.
Okay, I just put in my calendar, Austin finishes Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
I don't know what possessed me all of a sudden. I was just like, you know what I really need to do? I need to fucking finish Heart Gold. And I might restart it. I've never done that before in a Pokemon game.
Restart a Pokemon game?
Yeah, because I only had 3 gym badges when I lost interest in it in like 2009.
I always restart.
I think I got to Whitney and I was like, I'm fucking done.
See, we have the opposite problems because you just pick up where you leave off and then like, or you just stop or whatever. I get possessed by the urge to finish something. So I have to start from the beginning because I don't remember. So I'm like, I can't.
But I think I might do that.
You should, because we'll see if you can actually get from the beginning to the end in 6 weeks.
Okay, we'll find out what happens.
All right, good luck, Austin.
And I'll be able to tell you if there's a Pokemon Center at the base of Mount Silver.
You're not going to remember to tell me that.
I don't think you get to Mount Silver until after you go through Kanto, is the thing. I could be wrong.
I don't remember that well either. So, that's where we are. We are at the Pokemon Center. They ring up Professor Elm to let him know they've arrived, and he reminds them that they need to go to the Pokemon Preservation Center, and when they get there, they need to ask for a guy named Nathan. Great. Looking forward to meeting Nathan. Just as they finish their phone call, some kid with a horrible haircut comes up to them.
I'm so glad you clocked that, too.
I really am questioning now if there's, like, an epidemic of, like, bad hair.
It made me think of the Macargo boy.
He had worse hair.
Worse than Macargo boy?
Okay. Macargo boy had horrible hair. What was his name? I cannot remember.
Worthless piece of shit?
No.
Oh, that's just what his mother calls him. Okay.
Oh, is that why he's, like, in the volcano? Because nobody cares about him.
I googled Macargo trainer and couldn't find him. Okay.
I need to know his name. Now it's bothering me.
Egan.
Egan?
Egan.
Really? Is that right?
And here's what he looks like. Here is a visual aid for Alex and Alex only.
Okay, so we have Egan in the bad hair from like the Macargo episode a few episodes
ago. Egan had much worse hair than this kid.
Very bad. Then we had Nelson from the Entei episode a couple episodes ago. He had really bad hair too. I think we commented on his hair. And then this kid is Satchel.
He's kind of giving me Richie vibes.
He is giving Richie vibes. He's got the Richie face.
Okay, I have a hot take.
What is it?
Should this have been Richie?
Oh my God.
Should this have been Richie with a Quilava?
Normally, I would say, fuck Richie. I don't want to see Richie. However, I feel like it makes more sense in context to have that rivalry because Ash has already established rivals with Richie.
And they're on very similar paths.
Yes.
They have the same Pokemon, pretty much.
And maybe it would have been more impactful for Ash to see the progress that Richie is making. It would have more weight behind it to know that Ash has really been fucking around and not being good about training and regretting his choices.
Although, again, I think, like Casey, Richie has given up the badge quest at this point.
Do you think so?
I think so. When we saw him, he didn't say anything about badges or anything like that.
When did we see him last? Remind me again.
The Baby Lugia arc.
Oh, that's right. Silver and the Baby Lugia.
There's nothing about the gym challenge. Or he never shows up in a league again.
So we don't see him. Spoiler alert. We do not see him in the Silver Conference.
The league. Okay. No.
Maybe he died.
No, we know he's still alive.
Well, I don't know. I kind of agree with you. I think it would have been more impactful if it was Richie so that Ash can see, like, because we've seen Richie's progress, right? So we have a good idea of, like, where he was on, like you said, a similar stage as Ash. And maybe Ash would be like, oh my God, I actually...
Oh my, what if he had a Meganium, a Typhlosion, and a Feraligatr, and like a Heracross and a Donphan?
Very, I'm going to steal your life.
That's Richie.
Yeah. That would be crazy. Yeah, but no, this isn't Richie, unfortunately. It's some kid named Satchel, who has less bad hair than the other two kids, Egan and Nelson.
Yeah, Satchel looks like semi-realistic hair.
Sure.
Like, it's exaggerated, but you know what I mean.
He's a boy that doesn't, like, brush it necessarily every day, but sure.
Same, Satchel.
Same. Satchel is like, battle me, please, because I need to train my Magby, because Magby isn't going to be able to do anything in this conference, because he's being very realistic, and he's like, you know what? Magby might be strong, but evolved Pokemon are inherently stronger, and there's no substituting that. Ash, of course, cannot resist the challenge, and he decides to go one-on-one with Satchel and calls out Cyndaquil.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
It's a training battle.
Sure.
You can't always pick a type advantage.
Well,
so it makes sense for Cyndaquil to learn how to fight other fire types. I like that.
Exactly. And I do agree with Ash, because we know in a conference like this where people have experience, it's not going to be the obvious. They might have Pokemon that can, like, a water type could counter or a fire type could counter. Like, it's not going to be straightforward. So I agree with you. I think that it's a good thing that Ash is like, you know what? I need to experiment with different type matchups and not just go for the obvious choice here. I forgot that we have not seen Magby, actually, in the main series. We saw a bunch in, like, the Pikachu shorts and stuff.
Main series debut.
Yeah, so surprise, Magby's here. Ash is really bad in this battle because he gets easily outsmarted by Magby's double team, which I was kind of disappointed in Ash, actually, because I thought he was going to pull out some cool move where he was going to be like, Magby is running around Cyndaquil and has it trapped in this ring. But I thought Ash was going to kind of do like, aim your flamethrower and do like a spire spin type thing and, you know.
Cyndaquil knows smokescreen, right?
At this point? Yeah,
I think
maybe,
so.
I think so.
I thought maybe he could do something with that. He'd be like, well, now none of us have visibility. Like, you know?
He could have
done double team does it
so much. Yeah. But he's
he could have done anything.
He didn't do anything. He just sort of stood there. And Cyndaquil, unfortunately, gets taken out by a well-timed dynamic punch. Ash loses, and Satchel tells Ash that he's training Magby to evolve because, like I mentioned, Magby's just not enough. Up against other trainers with fully evolved Pokemon, it's no match. And Ash really seems to struggle with this concept. And I'm like, too little, too late, Ash. I mean, Satchel's like, Magby would never last in the Silver Conference, like, no matter what. And Ash is, like, having a crisis at this moment.
Yeah, all hail Boomer, or Boober Supremacy.
Boober Supremacy.
Magmar's a Boober.
Magby's super cute. Okay, if we have to pick between Magby and Elekid, what are we picking?
Elekid? Disagree.
No, I think I think Elekid for sure.
Yeah.
I do like Electabuzz better than Magmar.
I like all the Elekid line better than the Magby line.
Do you like Electivire better than Magmortar?
Oh, yeah.
I think I kind of like Magmortar better.
I don't dislike Magmag... Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to erupt. I don't dislike Magmortar. What did I say?
Magmortar?
Motor boater.
Oh, okay.
No more talking for Austin. I'm done.
Okay. God, no. Don't. Please don't let me do this. I think I talk too much. So, Ash is resting with Cyndaquil, and he's really starting to think finally for the first time after all these episodes. I'm like, Ash, where was this motivation and thought process episodes ago? This is too little, too late. Jesus. But he sees a guy, and this drives home the point even more, because as he's resting with Cyndaquil, he sees a nearby dude with his Quilava.
Making its main series debut.
I know. And Ash is like, what is that? Even though it looks exactly like Cyndaquil. He's shocked. He's never seen a Quilava before.
It looks better than Cyndaquil.
Cyndaquil's super cute.
I love Quilava.
Although, I think Typhlosion is absolutely awesome. Like,
would you fuck it in a cave?
Oh my god.
Sorry.
If you don't know what the fuck Oss is talking about, see
that was a big meme, yeah.
Yeah, see the recently leaked Sinnoh lore where there's like a legend that some chick boinked a Typhlosion in a cave.
Quilava's my favorite of that line for sure.
Oh, I like Typhlosion the best.
Okay.
Ash is like, oh my god, maybe I should have been actually like doing something and training my team and not just having a team mostly of unevolved, ineffectual Pokemon. So he's like, okay, we're going to do some special training, and he's going to try to cram in like the last minute training that he should have been doing for like years or whatever. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is watching from some nearby bushes and plan to steal all the powerful Pokemon that are around this Pokemon Center because all the Pokemon trainers are training. Larvitar, meanwhile, has wandered off and finds some Voltorb in the bushes and encounters the same group of trainers, and they start pondering if this is a wild Larvitar because they're kind of common around here in Mount Silver. And one guy tries to catch it, and I thought they were actually going to, like, do something with this. Like, because technically, Larvitar is not caught.
Right. It's a wild Pokemon.
It's a wild Pokemon, yes.
I know we count it as one of Ash's Pokemon, but I would consider it technically to be wild, yes.
Yeah, because it, well, I don't know if I necessarily honestly consider it to be one of Ash's Pokemon. I still kind of consider it to be Elms, sort of.
The people, the anime people consider it to be one of Ash's Pokemon.
Sure. But technically speaking,
it's included with all the Ash Pokemon in the
yeah.
promotional stuff. So,
but I mean, if we're really being technical, somebody else could catch it officially.
It's like the Meowth thing. Meowth is a Team Rocket Pokemon, but he is wild.
Yes.
As far as the Pokeballs are concerned.
So, to be honest with you, I kind of thought this was going to be a little bit of a thing where the trainers...
Satchel catches it.
somebody else tries to catch it, or maybe, like, they attempt to, and it gets put into a ball, but then, like, breaks out. Like, I thought something was going to happen, but it does not. Brock and Misty run up and, you know, at this point, and kind of prevent the people from even considering catching it.
I was surprised it didn't react with screaming or hardening when this was all happening.
Yeah, it kind
of
didn't.
When, like, a crowd of, like, 30 adults were crowding around it.
And
like,
Pokemon.
Gawking at it.
Yeah.
And it sees Misty and Brock running up, and it's, like, waving them down. It's like, I'm over here. Think about where Blavatar was 2 episodes ago.
That is true.
I honestly kind of think that Elekid thing was a major developmental point for Larvitar.
Maybe.
In its internal psychology. Because, like, look how well it's doing
got
now.
Sort of pulled out of its shell a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, maybe good for it. Good point, Austin. But we're interrupted, though. We don't really have time to, like, talk to these people or do anything else because Team Rocket has appeared with a giant vacuum machine and starts vacuuming up all the Pokemon. And I can't remember, I think it's like a Scizor, a Machoke, a Quagsire, a Voltorb. Furret is there?
Furret, the cameo queen of Johto. Yeah. Well, that and Jubluff, yeah.
It's not a great lineup, to be honest. Except for Scizor. Scizor's cool. They actually end up sucking up Ash as well. Pikachu manages to escape. They do not get Pikachu. And Larvitar also manages to escape the vacuum machine, but it clings onto the balloon, I think. And they end up going to a familiar pop-up cabin in the woods because, like we know, those just seemingly are everywhere in Johto.
Classic Team Rocket.
Classic pop-up cabin. Larvitar prevents the escape of the... They think they're, like, super clever, right? Because instead of taking the balloon and flying away where they're conspicuous, they have a getaway truck very conveniently posted there.
I thought this actually made a lot of sense.
A truck
that wouldn't
be obvious.
That was a good plan.
I mean, yeah, it is a good plan, but a truck wouldn't be obvious, like... I don't know.
A lot less obvious than the balloon.
That is true.
A couple times we've seen them use the balloon as a decoy. So maybe they were going to do that.
Yeah.
This is a logical explanation, I think, for why they stop at the pop-up cabin.
Okay. Yeah. Because they have the truck, getaway truck waiting there.
Normally they just go to the cabin and they're like, we did it.
Yeah. They were actually making preparations to leave, which I was like, smart. But of course it's Team Rocket, so nothing ever works out right. Larvitar is there and helps foil their escape by biting a hole into the tire of the truck. They're about to leave and then the tire goes flat and they're like, what the hell? So I think James like changes it a couple times because it keeps biting it as they try to fix it. Meanwhile, Ash is there. He's been freed from his bondage because they tied him up in ropes. Larvitar helps distract long enough to have Cyndaquil and Magby melt a hole in the glass pod that they're in,
which they could have fucking done themselves, but okay, I guess Larvitar needs to direct them.
I know. I'm like, are you guys like this ineffectual by yourself? Like, ugh. Machoke was also just sitting there. Scizor was also just sitting there, not doing anything to free themselves. I'm like, wow.
You know what this is? Learned helplessness.
It is learned helplessness. It's like when you put a leash on a dog and then just like sit it there and they think they're like trapped, but they're not actually trapped. Ash finally gets them all out. They escape. Satchel, Misty, and Brock. Noctowl locates the cabin and the balloon and the truck and everything and leads the twerps to the cabin. And they get into a battle where ultimately, this was funny, Jesse ends up swinging Arbok around like a flail and throws it at the twerps.
Oh, it's okay when Jesse does this, but not when the Magikarp tail thing kicks the victory bell. It's actively trying to eat him.
Okay, that was like straight up animal abuse, what Magikarp...
As opposed to this.
I mean, she was just swinging it around. I mean, Arbok was surprised, but I don't think it was like hurt. Anyway, unfortunately, it does not work because Magby ends up evolving into a Boober. And blasts them off again. Goodbye, Team Rocket. They reunite the stolen Pokemon with the trainers. Congratulations. And they say goodbye to Satchel. And Ash seems, despite everything, confident that all he needs... What did he say? Some bullshit. He's like, all they need is like heart and confidence. And that's all I need. I don't need to actually like evolve them.
I think Ash is fucking lying through his teeth. At least to him. Or maybe to himself, actually.
I think he's in sheer denial at this point. Absolute denial.
I have a theory about this episode.
Well, give it to me.
I think all this is setting up the fact that he's going to use his old Pokemon in the league.
Ash.
I think that's what this is setting up. I think he's like, oh, shit.
I mean,
I'm fucked.
At least he's not, okay, if that's the case, at least he's not so Delulu that he's like, no, I can make it through with, like, the heart of the cards or whatever and just use, like, Totodile, Cyndaquil, and Thampi. he's actually like, you know what? I actually need to pull out my old arsenal of like Snorlax and Kingler and Tauros and stuff.
Because he literally has already done that. He did that for the Claire battle.
Because he knows. He knows he's fucked up.
I think he's lying to himself, but I think he knows in his heart. Oh shit, this is not gonna work.
Well, guess what? He has only himself to blame. Like, I don't know what the fuck he was doing. Or honestly, like, what the fuck is Pokemon were doing? Like, evolve already.
It's not their fault.
How many battles? Okay, this is kind of one of those things, though, because it's, like, inexplicable, at least in the show. What triggers an evolution? Like, Ash has been battling with them. Like, why are they not evolving? Like, what's going on here?
Plot relevance? Ugh. Or in the case of Pineco, random factors?
Like, okay, so you can have something random, like, that happening, or like some random Weepinbell who's like itching to evolve and just evolves after like one time
without a leaf stone.
Yeah, exactly. So it's inexplicable, really. It's like, why?
Oh, I figured it out.
What?
Merchandising sales. That's what's the deciding factor.
I think you had it right though in the beginning when you said it should have been, what'd you say, Typhlosion, Chikorita, and Croconaw. Like, if they were gonna...
Not Chikorita.
Wait, what did you say?
Meganium. Or no, Bayleaf.
Okay, so what was your lineup for the
start? I think I said Typhlosion, Bayleaf, and Croconaw.
Oh, so both of them being evolved.
Yeah.
Okay, Bayleaf and Croconaw. Yeah, I couldn't see Ash with like a Feraligatr because I don't think they would like want to like outdo Charizard as like the reptilian Pokemon, but like,
I don't know.
I think he should have had Typhlosion for sure.
I still think if we play Captain Hindsight and we do the, this is all part of Ash's really long-term journey, and like, it's okay if his Johto team is not amazing. Because this is only Generation 2. We got a long way to go before we get there. Mm. So it's all a learning process. Like, that's what I'm going to say. This is going to set up the Hoenn crew.
I guess. I just...
Is the relative failure of his Johto team.
It's just weird coming off the heels of Kanto, in which he did so well with his team. And he had some real heavy hitters.
Mm. But, the Oak squad.
Yeah, but like...
The Kinglers and the... Mucks and the...
I mean, he didn't seem to have an aversion to it back then, so I'm really not sure what happened. But anyway, I guess he sort of... He was so close. It seemed like he sort of was realizing, like, oh shit, like, maybe I should have, like, done something here. But then at the end, he kind of, like, goes back into his denial of it all, and he's like, well, no, my Pokemon are great regardless, and they're gonna win because they have heart or some shit. We'll see, Ash. We will see.
Yeah, we'll see who you actually end up using against Gary. We'll see about that.
Right. Well, if we don't have any other thing to say about this, let us move on to our MVP, LVP, and quote.
Oh, right. I got to spin the coin.
I was waiting for that. Oh, my God.
It's every surf is it possibly could.
It's on the floor.
I'm going first. My MVP is going to be Larvitar for single-handedly stopping Team Rocket at multiple turns.
Mm-hmm.
My LVP is going to be Misty and Brock.
Why?
Or when Ash sends out Cyndaquil against Magby, they're like, why would Ash do that? I'm like, why the fuck do you think, you idiots? Because
they weren't thinking bigger picture, I guess.
No, they were not. This is a bad quote, so if you don't like it, I'll change it.
It's not my choice. It's yours.
Jesse saying, now Arbok, use your takedown. And James says, Weezing, do anything.
I actually love that.
Okay, great.
That's a panic moment if I've ever seen one.
It gave big Pikachu do something energy to me.
Pikachu do something. My MVP. God, does anybody even deserve it? I'm going to give it to Boober.
Yay.
Slash
Satchel's Magmar. Boober.
Satchel's Boober. Actually, can I do like Boober slash Satchel?
Yeah.
Okay.
I almost gave it to Satchel.
I'm going to give it to Satchel and Magmar, actually, slash Boober. Satchel, for his whole like, recognizing like this is the big leagues and this is like grown-up time now, so we actually have to, despite loving his Magby and, you know, potentially wanting to keep it as Magby, he's like, you know what, if I'm gonna go for this goal of like being a real competitor in this competition, I actually have to like evolve. It's not enough to just have heart. So good for Satchel. Plus his hair was not as bad as the other kids that we've seen, so he gets some point for that.
I always give him MVP for having his hair not be as bad as it could be. Yeah. I skipped over the part of the end when Satchel was like, oh, let's all go to the conference together. And Ash was like, no, we got something to do first. Yeah. And Satchel was like, oh, well, let's meet there after you're done. And Ash is like, maybe we'll battle there.
Maybe. Maybe, maybe
not. And then we never see him ever again.
Oh, we don't see Satchel? Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh. Ash was like, I don't want to hang out with you. Goodbye.
Maybe Ash was too ashamed.
Ash was like doing everything he could to like gymnastics his way out of that commitment.
Jeez. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll definitely hang out sometime, Satchel. Okay.
Yeah. I'll call you.
We'll figure it out. Okay. Bye.
poor Satchel. Oh, well.
Real.
Very real. And then also, like I was going to say, Boober because Boober. You just have to give MVP to Boober. My LVP, who did you give it to again?
Misty and Brock.
Misty Brock. I'm going to give it to Ash.
Of course. I already know Ash is going to win the ultimate LVP for Johto because of you single-handedly.
Well, I give it to him when he deserves it. And this is one of those times where he deserves it because what the hell has he been doing? He's been fannying around, not doing what he's supposed to do. And now all of a sudden he's like, wow, maybe I fucked up. So I don't know. He deserves it. My quote is going to be, this is also not like a great one, but I'm so sorry. These two episodes do not have great quotes. James, okay, so this is when they're fixing the tires of the truck. I think it's the first time that Larvitar bites a hole in it. Anyway, James says, this makes no sense at all. I kicked these tires right before buying it. And Meowth says, do you think you might have kicked them a little too hard, Jimmy?
I love it when Meowth calls James by nicknames.
He kind of did the, I think he did it like a bunch, actually. In the last one, he said, buck up, Jim.
Yeah, a lot of Jims and Jimbos and Jimmies.
I love it. I love it so much.
I think that's a cute little trait.
It is. That's also why I kind of picked that quote, because I liked it when he said Jimmy.
I think he calls Jesse Jess sometimes, too.
James definitely does.
Yeah. But I think Meowth does it, too.
I love that.
Probably for lip flap reasons, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that is it, I think. Oh, my God. Boy. We've talked so much. I'm kind of curious how much you're going to cut out after this.
Okay. So for the listeners, we had to like keep on stopping, but we've been letting the audio run. So currently, our recording time is at 2 hours and 6 minutes, but a lot of that is just us not talking.
Silence.
So we'll see what it comes out to.
We had some incidents along the way. We had coffee spilling everywhere because I'm an insane person who has no situational awareness. And then there was some other stuff with logging back out because the Discord is shit. And then Josh coming in and jingling keys around. And what a mess.
Throw him under the bus.
I will throw him under the bus. Okay, that is it.
Y'all, that's it for season 5.
Is that the end?
Yep.
Oh my God, it's the end. Okay.
Not the end of Master Quest.
No, but the end of season 5.
The end of season 5, based on how they originally aired on American television, in which there was 52 episode orders, they have done some fuckery since then, and they're like, let's pretend the seasons are not 52 episodes. No, as far as I'm concerned, this is the season 5 finale episode.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, because you know about the cutoffs of like the actual airing in the production run of like, okay, this is 52 episodes, whatever. I'm sure the next episode it'll be like there's no break at all, but...
If anything, the next two episodes should be the season 5 finale, if there was any, like, if it wasn't just random, you know?
Okay, so speaking of, what are the next two episodes?
The next two episodes are called Address Unknown.
Mm.
And that's spelled UNOWN.
I wonder what that's going to be about.
And Mother of All Battles.
Mother of All Battles. I feel like I kind of remember what that is.
Okay, you know what it is. All right.
I think. Because I was thinking there was more, like, Larvitar drama than there was.
There is.
And so I'm waiting for that shoe to drop.
Yeah, I should take back my earlier comment. Larvitar has not resolved his trauma. There's more to come.
There is more
but,
to come.
But he's doing a lot better than he was.
We'll see if that trend continues. All right. Well, if that is everything, I think we're good to wrap it up. So we would like to say thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to Ben and, oh, Austin, yes?
I was going to say Ben.
Yeah, well, give me some time. I'm shouting them out.
Okay.
Ben, Pokemon Megastar, everybody else, thank you guys so much. Oh my God, I just remembered. We didn't do the Mad Libs. We're already going so long.
That's what I was going to say. That's why I was interrupting you.
Sorry. Do you want to do that at the end after this, or do you want to wait?
You know what? Let's do it.
Okay. If you want to hear the finale.
It's our season 5 finale with Mad Libs.
Finale. Woohoo. Ben sent in 2, so we did 1 Mad Libs last week, and we're going to do the next one after the credits.
Yep.
Okay, so you can stay tuned if you want to see what goes on with that. Thank you guys again so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, we always encourage it. You can do so. Send us an email at our Gmail, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have a Blue Sky account. Austin posts really funny stuff every day over there, so check us out. Handle is, well, mostly every day. Our handle is @outofthedryingpan. Again, @outofthedryingpan. We also have an Instagram, which I recently posted on. It is a Christmas miracle.
And Tristan called you out.
He did call me out. Oh my God. He said it is a Christmas miracle, and it certainly is a Christmas miracle. I'm going to try to... My New Year's resolution, you guys, is to post more on the Instagram. So we'll see if I can stick to that. But you can check us out over there at Out of the Drying Pan. We also have a Patreon if you like what we do and want to see our bonus content. Remember, I just finished the bonus Dragon Ball episode, so go and see that. It's super fun. Austin and Jacob had a great time, talked about some really cool Dragon Ball Z stuff, so sign up for our Patreon, support us, and check that out. You can find the link in the description. And once again, we just want to say thank you guys so much for listening, and join us next week as the journey continues.
And dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot,
okay,
dot.
It's Mad Libs time.
Ooh!
All right, guess what this one's called?
What is it?
It's called a fanfic. Ash's dad in the Sevii Islands.
Oh my god, Ash's dad! Ben, you're a Pokemon fan after my own heart. We're going to talk about Silver? Question mark? I don't know.
In-game Barry from the Pokemon series.
Barry?
I mean, Barry.
Okay.
I'm going to say Oranberry.
Oh, an in-game Barry. Oh my god, I don't know why I was thinking like Barry, the character Barry. What the hell? I was so confused.
Like from Diamond and Pearl? Okay.
Oh, an in-game Barry. I see.
Yeah, Berry. Sorry.
Oren, because that's your favorite.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with Oranberries.
Austin wishes an Oranberry was real, and honestly, same.
Oh my god, it looks like it'd be blue raspberry flavored.
Can somebody please, like...
make an Oranberry?
Can we do some, like, genetic fuckery and, like, make one? I feel like we could.
Let's, like, Jurassic Park this shit.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, a Gen 4 game.
Diamond?
I have a...
Or Platinum.
...wild suggestion.
What? Well, you can see it. You can see it, and I can't.
What? See what?
The Mad Libs.
Yeah.
So, what did you say? Pokemon Ranch?
Yeah, my Pokemon Ranch.
Oh. Sorry, I was saying you could see, like, what the context of it is, and I can't, so I was going to say it might be
I can't. I'm being very specific. Oh. Just look at it.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll pick,
I mean, very good.
We'll pick that. Sure, whatever. I don't even know what that is, honestly.
That's a joke for Austin. Okay.
Okay.
Starter Pokemon from Gens 1 through 3.
Starter Pokemon Gen 1 through 3? Who's our favorite? Bulbasaur.
Okay.
Bulbasaur's my favorite, anyway.
Any Pokemon move.
Oh.
Judgment?
Judgment.
That's Arceus'
move. Oh, I was going to say cool new move, Aerial Ace.
Cool new move, Aerial Ace. Okay, so for those who may not know, because you're a normal fucking person.
And we are not.
There is an episode of Pokemon. I think it's still during the Four Kids year. No, it's during Black and White. Ash says, oh my god, my Pokemon has learned a cool new move. Use Aerial Ace! And, like, by that point, we had seen Aerial Ace 1,000 times.
Wait, who learns Aerial Ace?
I think it might be Tranquil.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, I could be wrong. All right, that was a lot of context.
That's an in-joke, kind of. Whatever.
Yeah. But we're going to make it your joke when we get to that season. Okay.
Yes, it is.
A chain American eatery.
Taco Bell.
We did Taco Bell last time, so we're going to do it this time, too. Any number.
13. Lucky number 13. I don't know.
A Johto Pokemon.
You pick. I don't know.
Porygon 2.
That's a Johto Pokemon?
What else would it be?
I don't know. The Pokemon anime does a good job trying to erase Porygon. So I'm sorry, Porygon. I forgot you.
All right. Any Pokemon type?
Oh, God. What's my favorite Pokemon type?
Terra type.
No, God. It's either Ghost or Fairy. Pick one. I don't know. Either one.
A Johto Gym Leader.
Icy Price.
I'm typing Icy Price.
Please do.
That's it, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Oh, God. Okay. What's going to happen?
Okay. It's Sevii Island, so I think we need to pull up Bulbapedia just so we, if there's any names we don't recognize.
Bulbapedia. Should I pull it up?
I got it.
Okay.
After the events of the distant blue sky, we love the distant blue sky on this podcast.
Oh, is that with the kid who passes away?
Yes.
Oh, that's such a good episode.
That was great, good stuff.
God, it made me like misty-eyed.
No, but not misty.
Not misty-eyed. Misty-eyed.
After the events of the distant blue sky, Ash decided to meet up with his dad, Vert, in the Sevii Islands. Who the fuck is Vert?
Vert?
Vert.
Who's Vert?
There is no Vert. Vert is an OC.
Okay, we encourage OCs. This is fine.
He landed at Treasure Beach and got distracted by gathering all the Oranberries lying around. I would too, Ash. I'm right there with you. He met up with Celio on one island to ask him where Vert was.
Who is Celio?
Celio is like Bill's friend.
Okay.
I remember him.
I literally...
He had a card.
Okay. I do not remember anything about the Sevii Islands.
Yeah, it's been a while. I wish they were in Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. This should have been.
I remember
playing it. Well, let's go Pikachu and Eevee should have had a lot of shit.
Well, yeah. I remember playing it, but I don't remember, like, much of it.
I think he makes it so you can trade between Kanto and Hoenn.
Okay.
Right?
I will take your word for that.
Because you give him the ruby and the sapphire? Yeah, I'm right. I'm totally right.
Wow. That is something I did not.
Oh, I remember that so well.
Good job. Okay.
Oh, he was in Adventures. Okay. Hmm. Okay. He asked Celio on one island where Bert was, but Celio was busy looking for my Pokemon ranches. Sounds dirty. He went to Cape Brink, where he learned that the move tutor taught Vert's Bulbasaur Blast Burn. Ash then went looking at the Five Isle Meadow, where he caught a rare Sentret that could use a cool new move, Aerial Ace.
Wait, can Sentret actually learn Aerial Ace?
I have no idea.
I'm gonna look it up, you keep reading.
Ash then went to the Altering Cave on a tip, but it only had Zubat, because Ash never went to Taco Bell. On the way back, Ash won a Johto annual festival competition with his hair across and his 13-inch horns.
Oh my god, annual festival shout out.
There's an exclamation point after the word festival, by the way.
I love that. Oh my god.
He talked to Selfie at her resort next, and she said that she gave Vert a luxury ball for showing her a Porygon 2. He finally found Vert at the base of the trainer tower, wanting to take on the challenge with a mono ghost team. When Ash asked Vert why he wanted to pull such a stunt, Vert responded that he wanted to ask Icy Price out on a date.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. What if Price was Ash's new stepdad?
That would be amazing.
And with that reminder of why he was often estranged from his father, Ash continued on his vaguely defined goal of becoming a Pokemon master.
So Vert is so busy with Icy Price that he has no time for Ash. Got it.
Yep.
Wow. Also, just to quickly tie up a loose end, I don't see that Sentret can learn Aerial Ace, sadly.
Well, that's why it's a cool new move.
It is a cool new move. Wow. Okay, that was great.
I wish I remembered the Sevii Islands more now.
I know.
I have a distinct memory of having to go to Home Depot with my parents for some reason and having Fire Red and playing the Sevii. Like, I played through the Sevii Islands for, like, hours in that Home Depot because...
Wait, as you were walking around the store?
I think I found a corner in, like, the paint aisle or something by, like, the swatches.
Oh, my God.
This could be a false memory.
This is giving going to the grocery store with my dad and sitting in the comic book aisle and just sitting there on the cold tile floor reading Archie comics while my dad grocery shopped.
We have to talk about the Archie Sonic thing.
Go for it.
How I, a long time ago, when I was like 11 or 12, they had the Sonic the Hedgehog archives.
Okay.
Which were, like, little digests that collected the earliest Sonic the Hedgehog Archie comics. Mm-hmm. And I had like 6 or 7 of them. But then I got rid of them. I sold them to like a used bookstore
or something. Oh, we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah. And since then, there's been like a big to-do about Archie got sued. Or if Sega got sued. Or Sega sued Archie. Or something went down about like intellectual property use. Because I think characters and ideas from the comics got used in the BioWare Sonic RPG game for DS that was released in an unfinished state.
That's insane to me, and I always forget that BioWare was involved in that.
And it was a disaster, and it led to this huge lawsuit situation.
Oh my god. Of course, leave it to BioWare to stir up some shit. Jesus Christ.
I don't know the details. If anyone knows the information, please tell us, because I would love to start an Archie Sonic Comics podcast.
What would you call that?
We'll figure it out later.
Okay.
But the problem is, you can't read any of that crap anymore, because it's legally not available anywhere. And Archie no longer even has a Sonic license, probably as a direct result of that. Probably, I don't know. Mm. And I looked up the prices of those old collections, and they were like $600 each.
You cannot beat yourself up about this, Austin. We talk about this all the time. There's moments where I have sincere regret over selling some of my old childhood games and not like knowing what I was thinking. Biggest regret is selling Barbie Horse Adventure. I'm so upset with myself. I don't know why I ever had done this.
We're going to get you Barbie Horse Adventure on an emulator, and we're going to stream it on Twitch.
Like, I that's want my, to
that's
so
my New Year's for 2025.
Bad. Oh my god, I would love that. I would cry. I think I would legitimately cry.
I'm going to get Josh to do that for you.
Okay.
Secretly, I don't know how to do that shit.
Secretly, like, coordinate with him, and then, like, surprise me.
Surprise.
I would love that.
Okay, so that was Ash's dad in the Sevii Islands. All right, thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. Yeah, so, like, just PSA, don't feel regret for selling old stuff, because you just never know what can be worth anything in the future. All right, Ben, that was great. Thank you.
That's it for season 5.
Yeah, okay. The great season 5 finale. We love that. Thanks, guys. Happy season 5 finale. Catch you next week.